What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast and Daggerfall, because we are continuing our exploration of the main quests in Daggerfall. I'm your host, Tom or Robots, and I'm here with Lotus. And Lotus, we've hung out multiple times this week, because this is our second episode of the Elder Scrolls Lorecast this week. I joined you on Tales of Tamriel the other night.
It's a lot of podcasting. And, you know, we had the episode early in the week to kick off the Daggerfall main quest line, because we didn't want to, you know, skip it, but last week's scheduling was tricky. But that doesn't mean we're going to miss this episode, so you get two lore casts to make up for it this week.
Double episodes in a week. Yeah, and we've got a kind of a revised overlay. Those of you who are joining us for the live stream, welcome, and those of you who tune into the show, even though it's a much smaller number than the audio listener numbers, if you're tuning in on YouTube, you're probably noticing that we've got like Daggerfall behind me here, and then down here on this little corner of the screen, I was like, you know what, we keep bringing up Lotus playing through Daggerfall and playing through Arena. I've got one of his videos running down here, so you can see we've got like double Lotus on the screen tonight.
Weird Lotusception going on right now.
Lotusception. But you can see his character down there. You can see him like running through some dungeons and probably dying or whatever it is that you were doing during your playthrough.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do in Daggerfall and Arena and Battlespire.
Those games are hard. 90s games are difficult. But we're back. We're going to be talking more about the quest lines and everything that goes into the main story of Daggerfall. And we started last time. We're continuing now. The quest lines they're a little disjointed. There are things that come up as you work your way through the quest. There are some that are time gated, as we mentioned in the previous episode. There are alternate quests that are part of the main quest line that aren't necessary. You could do them, you may not do them. So it's a little bit of a hodgepodge of stuff. So we're just going to go through the main quests and just detail what they're about and try to piece the story together from there for it to help it make sense to our listeners. So Lotus,
yeah,
we are.
There's something to note on that too, that you can kind of do not in any order, but sometimes like you can do these out of order, but then you reach stop points where it's like, well, you can't progress this storyline until you find this other sort of related one, which you wouldn't even notice was like a stop point if you didn't do it in that order. That's something I've run into a couple times. It's much more free flowing than this, where they kind of just all connect toward the end, and then how you do things and what choices you end up, like which quests you do, also determines your endings, because this is actually one of the few in the story or in the series. We'll come to it at the closing, but there's more than one ending to this one, which is
right, which
weird.
Is the necessity of the later games to explore dragon breaks and all of that.
Exactly,
in order to justify
it's basically
that.
Yeah. The conclusion of Daggerfall introduces the idea of dragon breaks so that they could continue the series.
Right, right. So it was their way of saying, oh, we're not going to canonize a specific ending. They all happened weirdly, and then here's what came from that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because time is weird. Because Akatosh and all of that. It's something that Bethesda can't really do with Fallout, so they've just avoided canonizing certain endings, even though they do kind of pick certain things in the following games that have something to do more in line with certain endings than others. But they, in general, like the TV show, they've tried to avoid having to deal with too much of that. But in this series, we previously talked about Privateer's Hold, Morgaia's Wedding, and the Soul of a Lich. And now we're moving on to the Missing Prince. And the Missing Prince questline starts with a letter you get from Prince Lotun. And this only happens when you hit level 5 and you get a letter. And oh, what was our character's name? It was like Freticus Maximus. Was that it?
Yeah, Freticus Maximus or something like that.
Yeah, it autofills in your name at the top. It says, Freticus Maximus, greetings and salutations. I hope your trip was uneventful. They say that you are keenly interested in the haunting of Daggerfall. Remember, we heard that Daggerfall was haunted, and that was part of the whole quest line here. My father and King Lysandus were somewhat close. Should you come visit me, I might be able to shed some light upon recent events involving Lysandus. Prince Lotun, Castle Sentinel. So now we get the next step in this quest, right? We know we need to go to Castle Sentinel, which is another one of those locations that you might find familiar, and we have to go talk to him. And then this dialogue happens. "Welcome to Sentinel, Fredericus Maximus. I guess you must have received my letter. I know some things about Lysandus and why he might be haunting Daggerfall, but before I tell you, you have to promise to do something for me first. Is that all right?" This is another one of those like quest justifications, right?
Yeah. Just say yes to make this quest continue, please. Right. It's like, all right, I guess so.
You don't know what you're going to be agreeing to, but just agree. Cool.
But just agree. It's fine. It's a legally binding contract. Just say yes.
Right. So you agree to that. And then he responds, "You will think..." And then a random god is inserted here.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember? Do you have any recollection at all which one might have
which
popped up?
Which one they thanked in my game? No. I remember being kind of amused and I believe wondering if that was random or not.
Uh-huh.
But actually seeing this now, knowing that it's random, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But no, I don't remember specifically offhand which god was thanked in my game.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So like, thank Akatosh. Or yeah, we've already mentioned Akatosh. We'll go over that. You see, I used to, and again, we mentioned in the last episode, there are typos, and for some reason, this did not get double-checked very well. "I used to have an older brother, 10 or 11 years older than me, named..." Prince's name. This is another autofill. This is like playing Mad Libs.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just procedurally generated name here.
Right, right. They were like, we don't know if we're ever going to have to reference this again later. Well, guess what? Now nobody knows what that prince's name is actually supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you edit the quest lines later for like ESO and you just choose a name and plug it in. "Whenever I ask what happened to him, I'm told a different story. Some say he got sick and died. Some say he was kidnapped by the Underking. I want to know the truth. If you can find some proof of what really happened to him, I'll tell you all I know about King Lysandus." So the Underking is brought up again. He came up last time. Remember that? And we know that, at least according to the version of the story we get from the King of Worms, who is also Manny Marco, the Underking is also Zurin Actor. The name just fell out of my brain. It was right there. Zurin Arctos.
Zurin Akatosh.
Zurin Akatosh.
Yeah.
We're just making up new names as we go. This is our own thing.
Yeah, we're procedurally generating our own storyline. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, Zurin Arctos. Yes.
Yes, and Zurin Arctos.
That's all.
The actual answer.
Right, that's the actual answer. Words fall out of my brain all the time. This has always been a thing for me. When people are like, "Hey, do you live near this road?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Like, sure.
Yes, I guess. I don't think about road names when I drive. You go around, you walk around the town asking for basically any details. So how did you deal with this part of the quest? Do you remember?
Poorly. Yes, I do remember this because this is what started to really throw me for a loop with how the design of this worked. When you say ask around town, that's literally how I needed to progress it. I would go around, and when you interact with citizens and civilians and stuff like that, and the guard, you can talk to guards as well. You'll get these like dialogue choice trees thing, and you can open these menus and ask about like where is, and then it's just a list of all these places in anything basically of a relative area to where you are. Or you could ask about who is, and then it's another list of people that I assume were procedurally generated in the area or quest design people. So I literally had to just poke at random citizens and ask about things.
Right.
And you don't always receive the same answers. Like, it's not, it also doesn't help that in my playthrough, I'm woefully ugly. I have like a personality of 13.
Oh, no.
That was my gimmick for the run, is that I have no personality whatsoever.
Like the ugly hero, like the terrible,
so everyone's
uncharming.
Very, very rude to me.
You're like the stinky guy that everyone's like, just doesn't want to get too close to.
Yeah, it's always just stinky. Like, right. Yeah. So that doesn't make my life any easier. But yes, it's essentially, in order for me to progress this, I was just blind poking at people like, "Hey, what, any chance of this, or what about this, or how about this? And yes, actually, as Weather brought up, there's even ways to change how you speak. Some people respond better if you ask them politely, if you ask them rudely, or ask them like normal. There's cadences at which you can talk to people, which is just ridiculous.
Because you're guessing at random, right?
You're guessing, this person seems
high society, so maybe I'm supposed to be polite, like, but you don't really know.
Right. And it's like, you know, and then if you were too polite and somebody's like, oh, well, you're too fancy for me. And then it's like, okay, well, I blew that lead. This person hates me now because they think I'm stuck up or something like that. So tracking down the actual thing without a direction and just doing it on the fly is actually pretty challenging.
Yeah. So you go poke around a little bit, and after a few days, you might also be approached by one of the Underking's agents, who looks like a very, I don't know, just very normal looking woman in a green dress. She comes up and it says here, a thin rail of a woman steps forward and hands you a note. She turns aside all your questions with a gaunt, expressionless face. I think there's a little bit of like, she kind of looks like a zombie, maybe? Even though the character model in the game doesn't look like a gaunt rail of a woman, like she doesn't eat, like she's wasting away, that kind of quality.
Yeah, a lot of this carries over some of the stuff that we had mentioned in Arena, where the graphics are limited, obviously, because of the time period. So you will get very, very flowery text to try to explain situations, right, more than they're visibly like able to just be seen in the game.
Right. Because there's only like, what, a dozen character models of like different women or different men or different Argonians, right, or whatever. So you get this letter and it says, dear Fredicus Maximus, if you are interested in learning the truth about Prince's name, what we need a Prince's name, what should we call him? Chat, throw out some ideas for a prince's name while I continue to read this.
What was the really obnoxious kid from Game of Thrones?
The obnoxious kid from Game of Thrones?
Joffrey.
Oh, Joffrey, the prince.
Boom.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, if you're interested in learning the truth about Prince Joffrey, meet me at Random Tavern in Random Town of Sentinel. Unsigned, no signature here. We don't know who this is from, right? So you make your way to this tavern, this random tavern again, and it can pick any of the ones in Sentinel for this. You just figure out where to go, and then you enter in, and you get somebody who says, psst, Fredicus Maximus, shh, I would prefer that nobody sees me talking to you. It has come to our attention that the Underking is being wrongly accused of abducting the prince, Joffrey. Before you judge, check into Random Dungeon. This is just like, pick a dungeon out of a hat.
Here's a dungeon. It's just go to this one.
Yeah. I'll mark it on your map. Who am I? Just call me a loyal servant. Now move away before anyone gets suspicious. Go on, scram. So you go to this, you just pick a random dungeon, right? Like, it just sends you. And again, you could be like halfway across the map. It's just random. It's just out there somewhere. And then you crawl around in the dungeon until you happen upon a death certificate. And that sounds simple enough, except for the fact that these dungeons are gigantic. So did you come across this quickly? How did this work for you?
So what I did in this, and something I would recommend if you're going to attempt to play through Daggerfall, it's fun to roam around for a little bit, but if you intend to actually progress anything, if you go to the world map, you can search for the location on the world map by typing in the exact name that they gave you, and it will find it, provided you're in the region type of thing. Like, it'll figure out where it is, and then you click on it, and I would fast travel to it because I did not have any gauge as to where this place was just based on them giving me this name. So I actually fast traveled to my randomly chosen dungeon to go through.
Right. But then once you're in the dungeon, it's still huge.
It's enormous. Right. It's an absolutely enormous mess. And the map is like that voodoo card thing that was all the rage back in the 90s, where everybody had the voodoo 3D graphics effects cards.
Yep.
And this was like the poster child for that, where it's just like, look at these 3D maps. And it's like, cool, they don't show me anything because it's 3D images on 3D images on 3D images.
Yeah.
And something that ends up saving me is there's spells in this game. There is essentially a mark and a recall spell, and you can anchor your spell at the start of the dungeon, and then when you go through the dungeon, you can recall at any point, and it will pull you back to your anchor point. Because it's hard enough to navigate to your objective in the dungeon. It's then equally hard oftentimes to get out of the dungeon.
Right, which may explain the whole dungeon loops that they designed in games like Skyrim.
Right,
where once you get to,
it
like,
brings you back.
Yeah, once you get to the boss or the treasure room or whatever you're going into the dungeon for.
There's usually a switch.
There's like a shortcut, like right back to the front.
Yes, a shortcut back to the beginning.
Yeah.
This game has none of that. It could, but it also more likely than not doesn't. If you use this tactic and you're playing Daggerfall for yourself, just remember that if you recall to your anchor point, it removes the anchor point. So don't go back into the dungeon because you forgot something or you were dumping off loot because you're crushed by all the garbage you picked up, because you can't recall back at that point. You have to re-anchor yourself. A mistake I made that cost me several hours on stream once because I had to physically walk out of the dungeon and I was in hell.
Oh, no. Okay, so once you work your way through this dungeon, you come across a parchment, and it's interesting, these old designs. You've got like the three-dimensional like boxes and things, but then you have just like 2D parchment that in these old 90s games, it didn't matter which direction you looked at it from. The parchment stayed in the same direction, but the boxes rotated because they were 3D. It was a 2D sprite on a 3D object.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a whole sprite on the 3D architecture thing, which is...
It's interesting.
Because you always see like a body from the same angle. It turns with you no matter what direction you're looking in.
Yeah, I think like Wolfenstein or Doom.
Yes, Wolfenstein, Doom, stuff like that. Yeah. We haven't reached Quake territory yet.
Not quite, yeah. So,
with 3D models.
Yeah, so this death certificate is like the longest document in the game so far. And it, at the top is a date. 23rd, Morningstar, 3rd Era, 400. And then it lists the dungeon's name. And then it says this. 2 days I was sealed within this crypt without food or water. I do not know whether hunger or poor health or one of the creatures who share this dank hole with me will kill me first. I only know that I will soon be dead, and not even my bones will remain. My hope is that in the years to come, this letter will be read and the sad story of Prince Joffrey, Prince of Sentinel, will be told. I am 15 years old at the time of this writing, and I have been plagued with bad health for most of my life in the frustration of my hearty parents. The finest healers and apothecaries in Western Tamriel have labored over my every cough and fever. But while they could save my life time and time again, they could not improve my sickly constitution. He just like goes into this like story of his life.
Yeah, it's just tragedy.
Right. In retrospect, I received little real affection from the king and queen, embarrassed as they were about begetting such a cripple as the heir of the kingdom. I cannot say I missed the love. I received much attention from the doctors, priests, and herbalists constantly at court. Certainly, I was not to be the sort of warrior that King Cameron... And again, typo spelled, was, but one of my dearest friends, the priest of Stendar, said that I might be the first scholar king in the history of Sentinel. My younger sister, how did we pronounce that last time?
I called her Abuki.
Abuki?
Abuki? No idea. But I just was like, that was the only way I could consistently say it through my playthrough.
So Abuki was the true favorite of my parents. Athletic, beautiful, and charming. It is hard to think of an uncomplimentary word for her. I am resigned to my imminent death, and yet I would like to see her once again. For 6 years, Abuki and I were the only children of Sentinel. 8 years ago, the queen had a boy child and named him Grekleth, for the ancient Redguard word for strong king. Few speak that tongue any longer, but all the scholars and nobles of Hammerfell understood, and Grekleth is a strong boy indeed. He's a strong boy. I have never so much as seen him cough. The queen's next child, born only a year after Grekleth, had an even more ominous birth name, Lotan. Second boy. I think that means that's what Lotan is supposed to mean.
I think that's what it's supposed to mean. Yeah, that's a bold choice for naming your kid.
Yeah, this is strong boy and second boy. Perhaps had I been less sheltered, more suspicious by nature, I might have read into these nominations. Lotan and Greklith are common enough names in our family, I reasoned. Now I know that even then I was disinherited, even if it was not official yet. For several months before Lotan's birth and over 3 years afterwards, I was in the throes of very serious fever. That is a really long time to have a fever.
Yeah, it really is. This kid has had a rough time.
He needed some cowbell.
Shouldn't have gotten bonitis.
The doctors despaired of me, but somehow, and very, very gradually, I recovered. For the first time and the last, I read an expression on my father, the king's face, that was not indifference. It was disgust. That was a fortnight ago. 3 nights ago, I was seized by men I had never seen while I was having a walk. My nursemaid stood by watching placidly as I was gagged and tied and thrown roughly into a sack. I do not know how long they rode with me, but I was eventually left here. When I finally freed myself from the bonds, I found that I was alone. My wanders have gotten me nowhere. That's not a phrase most people will say, but I know what that feels like sometimes. This place is filled with undead creatures that prevent me from finding any exit. I have no hope left, but no fear either. A few regrets. Perhaps had I studied magic instead of history and science, I could free myself of this place. One of my tutors told the story of the Underking, how he had placed his life force in the body of a powerful being and had thus conquered all Tamriel long, long ago. Wait, what? I mean, I guess helped conquer Azur Arrakis, or is there a story about the Underking having previously conquered that we don't know about?
Nope, don't worry about that. Just push right through that one.
Keep on moving. Had I only had the strength of a more powerful body like that, but I did not study magic. I studied history, so I leave this letter not to revenge myself, but as a historic document. He's very well spoken, or at least well written. I guess he's educated, right? So, yeah. So, did you read this whole thing when you played through it?
We did read this whole thing, and I remember it being just as melodramatic and emo then as it is now, where it's just like, wow, this kid just got dunked on his whole life, and then it's just like, well, looks like it's time to die. It's just like, good Lord.
Right, right. So you take the note out of the dungeon, hopefully it doesn't take you hours, and you go back to Lotan, who we now have understanding about, like, the connections here between these individuals,
right,
and
like,
what their names
are. How they're actually connected to each other, exactly.
Right. And Lotan replies, this what I feared most. No, is. Just this what I feared most.
I actually do remember this typo, too.
Poor,
that sounds familiar.
Poor Joffrey, as I promised, here's what I've heard about Lysandus. I don't know how much of this is secret, but I trust you. Lysandus was in love with his court sorceress, a noble woman named Medora Direnni. Direnni?
That should be. Mm-hmm. We're getting into some meaningful series names.
Yeah. And during the war with us, his queen found out. They say that while her husband was gone, Queen Minisira banished Medora from the court. My sister Abki is queen now, part of the treaty to ensure peace. But Minisira still resides at Castle Daggerfall. That's a tricky one to say for some reason.
Words are hard.
As the Dowager Queen Mother. I don't know where Medora went, but I know she has an enormous castle somewhere on the island.
Hey, I'm not one to judge. If she's an enormous castle, that's what she wants to do.
She's a brick house. No, she's an enormous castle. Somewhere on the island of Balfiera. But I also heard there is some kind of curse on her and she can never leave. I don't know if that helps you, but that's all I know. Again, thank you for Joffrey's letter. Just knowing what happened will ease my heart somewhat. Please take this random magic item as a token of my appreciation. Now, Lotus, we don't get actual confirmation that he's dead. We just see a letter that he wrote about how he didn't think he'd ever escape.
Right. And also, that gives you comfort that your brother is essentially just like decomposing down in like a cave,
or
writing a letter,
possibly
in his
still
final potentially moments. But
yeah,
he's either died down in the cave, horribly sick and like possibly murdered by beasties, or still bumbling around down there, slowly wasting away with his bonitis or whatever he's got. So
right.
It's like, what? How does that help?
Just
that
like hiding in a hole. Well, I'm scared of undead creatures that are going to eat him or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's like, wow. Well, oh man.
At least I feel better now.
I know. I'm like, dude, not cool.
Yeah, yeah. So there is another way you can handle this. You don't have to take the letter to, what was his name? I lost his name all of a sudden. Lotun. You can deliver it to Queen Okorithi, Prince Greklith, or Lord Vosek. There's a variety of different ways you can handle this stuff. As we mentioned before, you don't have to follow a certain path. Now, if you present the note to one of those three, you get this response. And they all say the same thing. What is the meaning of this? Blackmail? Why, you contemptible scoundrel, you ought to be thrashed for attempting to pass this cheap counterfeit. Poor Prince Joffrey died of a fever many, many years ago. Why can't you let him rest in peace? Which clearly shows that they're trying to cover something up.
No, that's a totally normal reaction, is to immediately respond to outrage the second anything is brought up.
Right, right. So this is all the wackiness ensues with this stuff. And of course, as you finish it, you can, as we mentioned before, you can gain or lose reputation with different groups. The groups that are influenced by this, there's one for Sentinel. There's one for specifically Prince Lotun. There are associated factions, as we talked about last time, which might be certain groups that were in the vicinity or somebody came across.
And
I don't even know how that works.
Different things, different ways. It's not always the same necessarily.
Right. And then there's the Underking and his agents, which you get the most reputation gain for.
Yeah, which I found that one very interesting.
Right. Like, so you're investigating something that might lead you to understand more about the Underking. And so I guess that makes them like you more. I don't understand how that.
It turns out all that vengeance is vengeance for being misunderstood.
Right. And if you take the letter not to his name just fell out of my head again, Lotun, then you can lose reputation with Sentinel, Queen Okorithi, and the associated factions with them. So that can play out in different ways as well. Man, this is the biggest part of our episode tonight, with that big long letter.
Yeah, and it's many potential directions that it takes things.
Right. Now, this isn't unique to Daggerfall, the complexity of this letter and understanding it. It's just in more recent games, Bethesda has a habit of laying this out in pieces rather than in one big document.
Right. Think of this as like, you know, you get the like chunks of a quest where it's like, this is, you know, the quest started sound, and you get that, but you turn in part of it and it gives you like a checkpoint. These ones are almost like just like dumping the information on you all at once.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, go from here. And then it's just like, once you finish with this elaborate portion where it's just like tons and tons and tons of exposition, it just becomes, okay, well, now go do what you want for a while and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah,
the pacing is very different than in modern games.
Right. Yeah. Oftentimes in modern games, you might find like one little scrap of text or one little book and you read through like a page and then it's like, right. Oh, put that down. And then you look in the other corner of the room and then there's another thing and it tells you a little bit more information. And just it's almost like when you get you ever get this like a direct message or an email from somebody who doesn't divide the text up in multiple paragraphs and it's just like a big block.
Yes, just a giant block. It's right. A text wall.
Right. And nobody wants to read it. Even if you just add extra spaces between every few sentences, even if it doesn't even make sense where you put the spaces.
It just visually works better. It's basically putting in checkpoints for you.
Right.
You can, like, your brain can segment the information into checkpoints of topics. Whereas back then it was just kind of like, instead of the book having chapters, the book is the book. So yeah. It's just here you go.
Here,
it's
read
like,
all of the real Baron Zaya all at once and then keep
breaks.
Playing the game.
No, exactly.
So that's that quest line. And that does it for the first half of the show, even because that one is so long. And then we're going to get
that one's super involved. And
yeah,
was very time consuming at the point when I was doing it, because it literally just feels like it keeps going. And this doesn't even include the several hours of dungeon crawling to get this information.
Right, right. So we're going to take a quick break and go thank our patrons. We'll be right back with some more quests. So don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, we're back, and we have to welcome some of our newest patrons. I don't remember exactly. Usually, I just look back a week, but since we did the last episode a few days ago, I don't think we welcomed some of these people. I know, you know, maybe all of them are new since we last talked about this. Lotus, do you remember us welcoming Jeremy J. W. We did. I remember that. Robert M., Hibero, and Air Apparent. Yes, we did all of these. All of these.
I think so.
The last one. So, well, they just get a double welcome. Double welcome. Welcome to the Patreon. Glad that you're here. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hair Scene, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, and Kiracy. Welcome and thank you to everybody who helps support us, everyone who's new, all 110 of you who help support the show and keep this going. I hope you are enjoying your ad-free episodes and the stickers and t-shirts and joining us on the Patreon chat. The Patreon chat this month is coming up. We will be doing that in 2 weeks on the 30th. So just a few weeks away, there's still time to sign up. If you want to sign up to one of the tiers or even upgrade to join us on the Patreon chat, we can do that. And we'd love to have you join us. It's there for us to take part and enjoy being with the community and talking about the things that you guys want to talk about. So come join us for that. Also, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We don't have any new ones this week, but if you leave a review, we might read it out next. And you can also rate the show 5 stars on Spotify or whatever other platform you listen to us on. And you can share it with your friends. All of that is extremely helpful and keeps us going. And it also feels really good. Let's be honest. Like, you know how the internet is, and you'll get people who complain about stuff, but it takes a little bit extra just to feel like, okay, all right, people like us. This is nice.
Yeah, no, it makes me happy that other people use podcasts in the same way I do. So
yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, man, this totally makes my work day better.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So
we can do that. I'm glad and I appreciate you.
Right. Yeah. If we've made anything better for you, just telling us a little bit about it really does make our day. So thank you to everybody who does that. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about the next potential quest that you could do in the story. Once you hit level 7, you can take on Painting the Truth. And Painting the Truth again starts with a letter. Remember in Arena where all the quests started with like a brain message?
Like, yes.
Brain mail.
Yep. Send it via Mimospore.
Yep. Mimospore, brain mail. These come to you from actual letters. And
yeah, no, they actually have couriers. I just assume it's the relentless courier that we deal with in Skyrim.
Right. It's the same guy.
I assume it's still them. They just got an early start. This is maybe their ancestor, whatever. They're all in.
They're kind of like Maik, I think. They're like a minor deity that never ages and never goes away. And
perfect.
They're just always a courier all the time.
I immediately accept that as canon. No questions.
I think that absolutely should be part of Elder Scrolls 6. Bethesda, if you're listening, I want the courier to be like a minor deity that people are now speculating about because they're like, wait, this is the same guy that's been there for decades.
Same courier?
Is this the same courier? And how is he everywhere all the time? How does that even happen? But here's what happens next. After you do Prince Lotan's quest, you hit level 7, and you get enough reputation with Queen Akorithi, and I'm probably butchering that name, you get a letter. A page girl bearing the crest of Sentinel stiffly presents you a crisply pressed envelope. This is the message you get, right? Ignoring your queries, she turns and walks away. Everybody's just like so short
rude
with
as
you.
Hell.
They're just like, nope. And it's mostly the meta reason is we didn't want to write any more here. So let's don't try to
also,
talk to her.
Also, there's literally no character to coincide with this. Right? So we will just move on.
Right. And then you open up the letter and it says, Dear Fredicus Maximus, your presence is our court. It's supposed to be in, but typo, is desired. Before the end of the next season, Prince Lotan has recommended you with high praise. I await your arrival, Akorithi, Queen of Sentinel. So you then travel to Sentinel, if you continue on this quest line, and you go right up into the throne room, and the queen greets you. She says, Fredicus Maximus, welcome to Sentinel. I trust you have had a comfortable stay so far. Let me get right to the point. My son, Prince Lotan, says you are a well-respected and trusted... And then she mentions your player race. And this is the first time that we've mentioned that, but it's something that plays in future Elder Scrolls games as well. People will say things like, my favorite Khajiit, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then she goes on and says, I have need of your sort. I am willing to pay you a random amount of gold. And I'm sure there's probably some boundaries in there, but I bet you could also get a number that's like, doesn't feel like very much just randomly. Like,
well, also depending upon where you are in the game and how much you've accumulated.
Yeah.
It could be more meaningful or not.
And right.
In Daggerfall, just a weird tangent. Gold has weight. It literally has weight because it has crushed my character several times. I actually was drowning once and I had to jettison gold to try to get to the surface.
That's amazing.
So much weight.
I actually love that. I think that's really cool in a game, especially if you're really shooting for a very realistic game of like, oh, I picked up too much weight while I was in the water.
Yes, I'm carrying 87,000 gold coins. It's like, okay, yes, that was a complete... Imagine 87,000 pennies and being like, yeah, no, I just carry that around with me.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
That is a big piggy bank to carry on your back.
You do have to use banks in this game to try to condense your weight, and then you can go to the bank. They give you basically a bank voucher telling you how much money you own and have at the bank.
Nice. I know it's also one of those things. I believe years ago when I jumped into my first Elder Scrolls experience, or maybe not even Elder Scrolls, but just RPG games in general that had swimming, and realizing that you could swim in an entire suit of like iron armor was like, wait, how am I doing this?
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing where you kind of have to suspend belief a little bit there if you want it to flow. Otherwise, it is a level of realism that you're going to need to micromanage.
Right. So she says, I'm willing to pay you 2 gold or 2,000 gold, who knows, to infiltrate Castle Wayrest, a place that we've been to in ESO, and recover an heirloom of the late King Lysandus for me. Will you do it? And of course, you could say no, just like all these things, right?
Yep. But you're allowed to decline.
You're allowed to decline.
Have a very unceremonious end.
Right. But you say yes, and you continue the quest. And she says, what bounty? There is an item, a painting, that is hidden somewhere within Castle Wayrest. I desire this item for reasons you need not worry about. Bring it to me, and I will pay you your 2,000 gold. I love the way that this is stated, because you would imagine that a palace... castle probably has a lot of paintings in it, and she doesn't give you any she's not like the painting with the yellow flowers and the two women in the sunset under the elm tree, you know, like there's no description here. It's just one of the paintings. So in my mind, I'm picturing like you just grab all the paintings, you just are just like a mover just moving tons of paintings out of this place as you go.
Luckily, this painting is all by itself, so it's really obvious.
Have you been to a like a actual like palace, or have you visited castles before, Lotus?
Oh yeah, when we went to Paris, on my wife and I's honeymoon, we actually went to a couple royal places like the palace. I'm forgetting the name of it.
Yeah, I've been to, Windsor in London.
Yep.
And there, I mean, those paintings are gigantic.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are wild. And also, I was going to say, there's a place in Newport, Rhode Island. That there's the like the mansions from like the Vanderbilt family and stuff like that. We've been to those as well. Mm-hmm. And like there's like a painting, it's essentially the whole ceiling mural is like a painting. And it's just like insane how big it is. So it's just like, oh, the family portrait is 22 feet by 14 feet.
Right, right, right. It's like the Sistine Chapel ceiling on the wall.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So you go through this castle and you find the one painting that's actually there, which isn't as exciting as stealing every painting from a massive castle.
Well, there are other things on the walls and stuff, but this painting is real obvious because it's basically just down in a basement surrounded by a moat. So it's like, oh, it's clearly this painting.
It's like an inside moat?
Yes, it is an inside moat, which lets you leave the castle, I believe. I think that you can actually go out of the... I think that's the quick escape route, if I remember correctly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Odd.
Think of it as a swimming pool, indoor swimming pool that houses a valuable painting.
So, okay. So the quest is you talk to the queen. The queen's like, I want a painting in this fancy castle. You go in the fancy castle. You murder everybody to get to a painting in an actual castle full of people. This isn't like undead creatures, right? These are people.
No, this is like, so there'll be like, well, it's weird. There are a lot of, they are people, but they're not like, I mean, there are some literal guards, but a lot of them, it's just like bandit and wizard and stuff like that. It's like, why are you just chilling here being evil? Like, what the hell?
It's so weird. So you go into a castle. This is before stealth games were really a thing, right? Like,
In Wayrest, it's separated via elevator, I believe, was how you connect to it. It's been a little while since I was at this portion of the quest. I'm not too much farther than this, which is going to sound weird because I've done some other quests out of sync with what we haven't even got to for some other stuff I've done. But you basically have to... The castle itself is a safe zone because it's in a town, but when you go to a different level of the castle to enter this, it switches to dungeon music and it becomes a dungeon even though you're in like what would normally be a safe zone. It's separated and starts becoming having hostile enemies in it. It's interesting.
In a modern game, the idea would generally be like, try not to make a commotion, try to sneak through it, and they would rely on your stealth skills, or you would end up with some sort of guidance on the quest, like, you know, follow this path and stick to the shadows, even if you're not good at stealth and you won't have to fight as many guards, or find the secret passage because you can cut through the wall in order to get into the room. You know, like they would have scripted it more, but in these old games, it's just like murder all the people because you got to get to the basement.
Which is funny because Daggerfall does have stealth and pickpocketing. And it is funny because I actually have used it a couple of times and my stealth skill has gone up by crouching and walking up behind enemies to just stab them harder because I get a critical strike.
Yeah.
And that's really all stealth amounts to.
That's
all
it does.
I could try to pick their pocket, but I fail 100% of the time. So,
yeah, this was a few years before the first Thief game or. What was the one with Sam Fisher with his goggles and his black suit?
Splinter Cell.
Like those games really made the stealth thing a thing.
Yeah.
But this was before that. So
shout out to Tenchu Stealth Assassins, one of the only stealth games that I liked.
Oh, okay. I can play that one.
Like two people will get that reference because it was a PlayStation 1 game.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. The same time period as this.
It really is, but...
Yeah. Yeah. So you return, you take this painting, you return to the queen and she says, excellent, its properties are inappropriate for those not of royal blood. You have shown yourself to not only loyal, but also obedient. Thankful, wonderful. I love when people call me obedient.
Yes. Great. Thank you. I will take my training cookie now, please.
Right. And if you tell her you did, she says, you presume much.
I love that you can basically be like, oh, no, I totally looked at it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Like.
And then she says, yeah, you presume much, Fredicus Maximus. What you saw is not for the prying eyes of the masses. It concerns matters of royalty and will be dealt with by royalty. And so, of course, she sounds all uppity because you looked at the painting.
I totally looked at the painting.
Right. Just like you're going to read the letter, you know,
well,
like,
because I just assumed it was part of the thing. It was like, oh, yeah, clearly I can look at this. And then it was funny. You're just like, we're supposed to look at that. I was like, ah, crap. It's like, I hope I didn't botch anything.
Right. So by doing this quest, you also can gain reputation with Sentinel, with the Queen and associated factions. Nothing else really going on there. If you say you did actually take a look at the painting, you can gain the same reputation, the same, you can gain reputation with the same factions, you just gain less. I guess that's the best yes. way to say it. So
yeah, they
it's
just,
like
they were
still
just
good
less
job.
Impressed with me.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're just a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Instead of just smiling at you, you get one hand on the hip and a slight like, and that's all you get.
That's all you get. That's it.
All you get.
Yeah. So doing that, you move on to the next quest, and this is the last one we have time to go over. This one's fairly short as well. Level 8, you receive a letter from an agent of the Underking. And the letter says, before you get the letter, the text says, a young courier dryly hands you a letter and then stalks off without saying a word. Couriers are so rude. The letter says, dear Fredericus Maximus, Queen Acorithi of Sentinels spoke highly of you as a brave, able, and unprejudiced. And then they mention your race again. Her actual words were a hero. For some time, we have been looking for someone like that. I will not lie to you about our loyalties. We serve the Underking. If you are a believer in fairy tales and consider the Underking the ultimate force of evil, we apologize for misjudging you. Otherwise, we need your help. You can find me at, and then again, random building, random town in Sentinel. I will wait 1 month. And it's probably just like we talked about in the previous episode, where if you spend too much time, they're no longer there after a month. 30 days. That's it. That's all you get. So you continue along and let's see. On the next part, you go to this location and it says specifically here, I'm just going to quote the UESP because it's probably the best way to do it. The specified rendezvous point is always located in a town in the Kingdom of Sentinel, because it specifically isn't Sentinel.
That's your hub thing. That they, right. Like something random, but within a region that is designed like or chosen.
Right. And again, the UESP backs this up. If you are in a far flung region, be prepared to travel rapidly as your contact will only wait a month, because you got to make a long distance. Right. And time actually passes as you're traveling, even when
it
you
does.
Fast travel.
Time progresses. Actually, when you choose to fast travel, there are multiple ways to fast travel that take different amounts of time and funds to fast travel. Fast travel is not just free. You can't just fast travel because you want to. You have to pay for provisioning, and you can choose to stop for lodging, which makes like your safety go up type of thing. And there's ways to, it's like, oh, I'm going to travel by horse. I'm going to travel by foot. I'm going to travel by boat. Like there's all these different ways to do it with, I don't know how extreme the effects get, but at least some of them, my favorite is whether you travel carefully or recklessly. So yeah. I love to just travel like a reckless jerk all the time. And I assume I'm just like Kermit the Frog waving my arms while I'm going and
stomping on all the plants, not walking around
trampling.
Things, just walking over stuff.
Yeah, it's everything. Just trampling it all, making as much noise as possible wherever I go. But that usually cuts the value of everything in half. So it's only half as much gold. It takes only half as much time. But the only time because I could never figure out what was happening. Like, why wouldn't I just do this? You don't regenerate while it's happening. So if you're injured and stuff like that, you show up to your location and you're still tired and injured and have no stamina. Like, you're just
still
a
just bleeding out of
there,
your
so.
Side because you're right, like, I didn't slow down to take care of myself.
Right. I've got conjunctivitis in both eyes. Like, it's just, you are in rough shape unless you leave at the, like, you basically just get no regenerative properties. Where if you sleep and travel cautiously, I notice my stats are cleared up by the time I reach my destination.
Yeah. So eventually you get there, you find this building and you enter it, and an agent wants to speak with you, and they say, good day, Fredericus Maximus. My name is random agent's name. We don't know. This is not definitive. It is always random. I must admit that I am surprised to see you. Are you perhaps able to help the Underking in an endeavor against the necromancers? We will reward you liberally for this service and provide information you will probably not be able to find anywhere else. And of course, you say yes. And then he says, you will. Remarkable. The necromancers have taken an item of ours, a random magical item. It doesn't matter what it is. It's some random magical item. Of some value. The value is of secondary concern. The true problem is that they cursed this item and gave it to the Blades. The Blades!
dun, dun, dun.
Everybody knows the Blades if you played.
Well, you are
Oblivion
kind of tangentially a Blades Skyrim agent. So, like.
Yeah, yeah. If you are unaware, the Blades were once the honor guard of Tiber Septim. Today, they are loyal to the Empire and Tiber's code, and not always to the current Emperor. The Underking has reason to not wish harm upon the Blades. We want you to infiltrate Castle Lugwich in Kalan and remove the random magical item. Please have this done in a random time limit number of days. And again, I'm assuming there's some sort of range in that, but
Yes, I would assume so. I mean, I haven't like completed this enough times to know exactly like obviously what the ranges are type of deal, but it is a level of stress that will happen when they give you, because you'll get this quite frequently with like doing Mage's Guild and stuff like that. You'll get a certain amount of time to do the quest, just like, oh yeah, go to this cave, murder this Atronach that's gone AWOL. You have this much time. Well, mm-hmm. time when you're playing passes relatively slowly. However, stressing how complicated these dungeons can be, the time factor does kind of have this looming dark cloud over you where it's like, I'm not finding this, and the clock is ticking. And right.
Doesn't resting take time also?
Resting
like in
totally
the dungeon?
Takes time.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah,
more
yeah,
injured you get, the more you rest, the more time it takes.
Right, and that burns clock. Yeah. And yeah, there have been a lot of situations where like I will start to get pretty like, okay, time's ticking, because once you do whatever it is, you do still need to account for time getting back as well. So if you do the quest and it's like, oh, I did it with 1 day to spare, and it's like, well, yeah, but it takes 3 days to get back to your like quest giver, you fail because you won't get it back in time, and you still failed because there's like, well, no, you didn't do it in time. And it's like, so the clock is actually like a pretty looming
Jerks.
Threat in this game. It's a little weird.
Yeah, so the line ends with you have a random time limit, and if you want your information and reward, and then you go to another castle, you infiltrate this other castle, and you work your way through it. Do you remember this one?
I think this is around where I was in the game on
okay,
the quest.
So
I actually might be mid-mission on this one the last time I played.
Yeah, so this is Castle Lugwich, and then you of course get what you need. You come back, you talk to the agent, and the agent says, well done, Freticus Maximus. Let me cast this spell upon the magical item. And again, it's random, so it'll be whatever that item is in the castle that you take and bring back. There, the magical item is now safe and yours to keep. Not even death can hide a true descendant of Tiber Septim from the Underking. King Lysandus did not die in the Battle of Cringane? I don't know that
name. Yeah, Cringane.
Cringane.
Yep.
He was slain by treachery before it. The monument to him in Hammerfell is an empty tomb. His remains were secretly taken to an ancient tomb in Menevia, which I will now reveal to you. I do not know who betrayed Lysandus, nor why his spirit haunts the city of Daggerfall and not the battlefield of Cringane. I have kept my part of the bargain, and you have earned the gratitude of the Underking. And of course, you gain reputation for the Underking, the agents of the Underking, who are different groups. It seems like there's individuals, and then there's like the groups that might be associated with the individual.
Right.
Which I feel like you probably could have like simplified that and just put it all under the
same
thing.
Yeah, that almost seems needlessly complicated.
Right.
Again, we've talked about like the idea of streamlining some of these games. Some of that stuff, the streamlining there might be good.
Right. And then you lose reputation with the King of Worms and the Necromancers, which seems a little harsh for a core quest.
That's what I was about to say. Core quests don't always just give you positive reputation. It's just like, well, no, this group actually doesn't like you, even though it's like, well, wow, that's rough.
Yeah, like you were doing stuff for the King of Worms, and now you're doing stuff for the Underking, and it's like you don't really have a choice if you're going to continue the main thing, but I'm sure that plays into it a little bit. But that's the end of that quest, and again, that was the Ancient Watcher, and we're going to have to tackle more of these next time, next week. Lotus, this is fun getting clips of Daggerfall stuff.
It actually makes me realize I really want to get back and finish the last part of this game.
Well, you got a week. That's your time limit, and if you don't meet the time limit, the quest is done.
Great. I already think I have like 60 hours of like footage from this game, so it's like, well, you know what? I'll just go to work, give up sleeping,
yeah,
and I'll just stream the rest of the time nonstop. Or, I'm sure that will be very healthy.
Or you could go to work recklessly and do it in half the time.
You're right. Does that also mean it costs me half as much, so I get paid?
You get paid half as much, and you also don't heal while you're there.
Yeah, so. I don't heal and cause spontaneous fires at work.
Oh God! Why did we hire Lotus? He keeps setting things on fire. I'm sorry. I'm getting my work done recklessly. I've got a time limit.
Running in and out of buildings, just flailing my arms.
Awesome. Chat, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad that you're here.
I hope everybody's enjoying these run-throughs because they're actually pretty fun to condense down, which is funny that these are condensed, but these games are quite massive.
Yeah, yeah. Lotus, what else do you have going on? I know we recorded some Tales of Tamriel recently.
We just recorded an episode of Tales of Tamriel last night, and actually went live. It was taking a little while to upload. It actually went live while we were recording this, which is even funnier.
Cool.
But yeah, you joined so that it was actually me, you, and Zero Period Productions to discuss all. It was more of a news episode than like anything else. It was kind of like a little different format than we usually try to do, although we do cover the news more on that show, but just with all the happenings at Microsoft and Bethesda. So it was a really good chat. If you're interested in all of that that's been happening with the Bethesda studio closures and stuff like that, we had a pretty lengthy chat about it last night. It was almost 2 hours.
We got down to it. We figured out all the things.
We clearly
figured out everything. We solved all the
solutions
problems
to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, so that was a lot of fun to chat about last night. And then my goal is I've fixed a whole bunch of the computer issues I was having. I'm hoping that I actually can stream somewhat soon because I would love to get back to that. And also I just kind of miss streaming and chatting with everybody. So
yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, good luck. Good luck. And I've been busy with all my shows. You know where my stuff is, robotsradio.net. If you want other stuff that I do, like Fallout Lorecast or the Starfield Lorecast or the Mass Effect Lorecast. And there's lots of other shows from other hosts on the network. There's other Elder Scrolls content. There's all sorts of things. Head over to robotsradio.net and we'll be back next week. And until then, stay safe out there. And if somebody says you've got a quest line and a time limit and you're bleeding out of your side, maybe be a little bit more careful about how you travel.
But we have to do the random page.
Oh, the random. Jesus.
We need. Sorry.
I usually don't say Jesus out loud.
I was waiting for it. I was like, you thought your Akatosh quest was over.
There we go. I hit it. This is from Oblivion Better Cities. I think this is a mod.
This sounds like a mod.
I'm going to hit another one because it's not official. Okay. Here's a fun one. Elder Scrolls Online, the Rift treasure map. Number 2. Maybe I can put this on the screen. Let me see.
Can you bring this up at least?
Let me see if I can bring this up. I'm working on it here. Here we go. Let's see if it looks. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. There you go. There's the treasure map from. This is the Rift treasure map number 2 from Elder Scrolls Online, which is part of the game.
So you go like find
hidden, like what is like buried treasure, right? You have to dig it up.
Yep, it looks like it's right by a tree, and there's a body of water there.
Kind of a little hill with some other trees on it.
There's a little hill, a lot of trees around it.
There's like a boat and maybe a bench of some sort nearby.
Chad is very excited about Rift Treasure Map.
The Rift Treasure Map number 2 is going to be our next
fan
hit song.
Favorite, Rift Treasure Map 2, a true fan favorite.
There you go.
Tell us your experience with Rift Treasure Map 2.
I also love how it doesn't detail like what is actually the reward because it's a random thing because it's just whatever you happen to dig. Like the game randomizes that stuff.
Yeah,
so it can't even tell you like
a set piece in there.
Yeah, it can't even tell you like this is specifically what's buried here because it doesn't know.
Nah. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah, there
Side
you go.
Note, I love the parchment style of the maps in Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, they look really cool. Yeah, very, very cool. So there you go. That's Rift Treasure Map number 2. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time and stay safe out there, especially if you're digging up Rift Treasure Map number 2. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. just press play.